everybody, if we could all stand. Let's just start this out with some praise and worship. Let's lift up our voice. Give him praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise your name, God. The name above all names, Jesus. That is you. And I ask right now that your presence would be in this place. God, that you would touch every heart and every mind. That you would meet every need, Jesus. Let your love surround us, God. Let your presence surround us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Try to stop your love, and you would wage a war. Try to take the very thing you gave your life for. You would come running and tear down every wall, all the while you're shouting, my love, you're worth it all. And God, you pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable.
To the silence and sang your song of hope, a melody resounding in the deep of my soul. And you have come running, you tore down every wall, and all the while shouting, my love, you're worth it all. Pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love that never ends. Pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love.
Broke into the silence and sang your song of hope, a melody resounding in the deep of my soul. And you have come running, you tore down every wall, all the while shouting, my love, you're worth it all. Pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love that never ends. Pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love.
We lift up our hands. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
No sin, no shame, no shame. passion and mercy, unstoppable love that never ends. Jesus, there's no answer in love, Jesus. No end to your love, Jesus. There's no end, no. It goes on forever, on forever, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, yes, God, you pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that ever ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love that never ends.
Can we sing it out?
God, you pursue me. Power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. You're unrelenting with passion and mercy, unstoppable love that never ends. No sin, no shame, no past, no pain can separate me from your love. There's no height, no depth, no fear, no death can separate me from your love.
For you.
ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. We live for you. And holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead.
Show me.
One more time, sing holy, holy. Our prayer tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. All over this place, let's just worship the Lord. If you're joining us at home, let's just worship. Lord, thank you. Unstoppable love, God, you have for us. I want to have your mindset, Jesus. I want to have your heart, God. Show me, God. Lead me, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We want to go before the Lord in prayer. I want to welcome all those who are joining us online. If you are switched over to the website, for those who are trying on Facebook, I apologize. We had a technical glitch. They may get it back up on Facebook, but if you're joining us now on the website, thank you so much for joining us and being patient with us. We want to go before the Lord in prayer this evening. We want to pray for Sister Seidel's dad. He's facing some health issues with some blood clots, and they are headed up there. She left today. Brother Seidel's leaving tomorrow. And so we want to pray for him, that God would heal him. Also continue to pray and believe for healing touch and on Sister Pat Puckett, Brother Pat Huber. Let's pray for that. Anybody here worshiping here in person and have a need, you want to indicate it by lifted hand? Amen. If you're at home, share that need with somebody. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this evening. We thank you, God, so much, God, for your goodness, for your love, unstoppable love, Lord God. No height nor depth. Nothing's going to separate you from us, Lord Jesus, God. And you'll build us up, Lord God. You'll show us, you'll lead us, you'll guide us to the proper attitude, the proper mindset, the biblical, Lord Jesus, and scriptural and spiritual, God, approach to life, Lord God. And I pray, help us, Lord God. That song, Lord God, songs reverberate in our spirits tonight, God, as we go into your word later, Lord God. I pray you touch, Lord Jesus, Sister Seidel's dad, God. Heal him, Lord God. I pray, dissolve these blood clots. I pray right now in Jesus' name, God. Guide the doctor's hands. Lord, we pray, Lord, for Sister Pat Puckett, Brother Pat Hugh. neighbor, Lord Jesus. Touch them in body. Lord, heal them, Lord God. Lord Jesus, I pray. Strengthen them, Lord God, in your name. Lord, every need that was in this, represented in this house was a lifted hand, God. You know the situation, God. And we speak, Lord, right now to those situations. Move, minister, God. Heal, Lord. Deliver, God. Lord God, work, Lord. Supply, provide. Whatever the need may be, God, I pray that you would minister, God, from here at home, Lord, and at home, Lord Jesus, those who are in desperate need, are in need, Lord Jesus, of a touch, minister, right, in a bedroom, God, in a living room, God, Lord God, on a job, Lord Jesus, Lord God, wherever we may be, God, you can work, you can move, and I release, Lord Jesus, God, your spirit, God, in Jesus' name, let's give a hand clap to the Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. We praise your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sister Lily. Let's one more time before we get into announcements. We want to pray for Ephraim. He is needing healing from COVID-19. He's in the hospital in Mexico, connected to Sister Lily back there. Let's go before the Lord in prayer for Ephraim right now. Lord, we thank you so much, God. Lord Jesus, no pandemic, Lord. Proclaimed pandemic, Lord. Identified, Lord, as a world crazy virus, Lord, is too big for you, God. You are in control. You are our healer. And I'm believing right now in that hospital in Mexico, all those miles away, God, that you would heal Ephraim right now. In Jesus' name, we plead your blood over his body right now. Dissolve every, Lord, element of this virus, God. Let him go home. Let him be healed in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. We just want to remind you that for those here in attendance, there is an offering, a clear plexiglass offering box on the kiosk that you can give on your way out if you're at home. You also can give at cgcmadison.org. Click the give link. You can send it in, mail it to the church, or text to give as we've been announcing. You can see those options on your screen at home. Just a couple announcements tomorrow evening. We are doing a movie night again. Sun is at its peak now. We got the greatest light going on. So it's been hard to start at 8. So we pushed it back till 9 p.m. Not so conducive for kids. So the movie's more of a fun love story. Check it out. Check the event on Facebook. And 9 p.m. tomorrow evening, that movie will start because that's when the light will be best for viewing it. And we'll continue to do these throughout the summer. Alternating with prayer meetings, etc. So keep watch for that. It's going to be a good time. And then we want to continue to stress, I know we're here, we can have 300. We haven't even reached 200 yet in service, which is fine. But for those who are here tonight and for those who plan to be here Sunday, I want to encourage you to stress the importance of the physical distancing. I know things are seemingly wrapping up, but we want to be cautious and safe and want to make everyone feel comfortable. Some of you just want to hug and slobber all over everybody because you haven't seen them for a while. But others want to come to church, but they don't want to touch you. And so in light of that, just continue to be sensitive to that. Before you shake a hand, if you're not sure that they want to shake hands or not, saying, hey, is it okay? And if they say, no, I'd rather not, be cool with it and give them an air five or air kick or something. Amen. But let's be conscious and mindful of those that do feel uncomfortable to this time. We want to keep everyone safe. We've heard of churches that already that have had 20, I think, up in Sheboygan Falls and have gotten COVID, and so we don't want to see that happen here. So just be safe, be mindful. Try not to say we have these spread out, which is very impossible to try to get 6 feet distancing because one family is just a single person. The other family, it has six kids, and it's kind of hard to mark that off on the pews unless we assigned a section. So just be mindful. Don't sit in front of somebody or behind them unless they're okay with it. If they give you a nasty look, maybe just move over. Yeah, I see you, Brother Hop. Amen. If you're at home, well, you're stuck with your family, so get the COVID on. Amen. I'm teasing. Amen. How to rebound from that. If you would stand with me, pull out your Bibles. We're going to go into the Word of the Lord here. And just before we do, I just want to say a big thank you to my wife. It's a challenge having a 4-year-old who wants to talk all the time. The Smiths understand this. Amen, Brother Isaiah. Amen, yeah. You and Josiah are two peas in a pod. And then add a nine-month-old on to it. It's difficult on days like this when you're preparing. And my wife has just been a blessing to give me the time to study and bring the word of the Lord. And I appreciate her. She's at home with them. He's getting two top teeth coming in, and so it's the cutest thing. But for those who've been through that, it can be painful, and he's suffering. Well, we're suffering. He's doing it. I'm teasing. Amen. Pray that Malachi gets some sleep tonight. Amen. Amen. I didn't add that to the prayer list, but praise God. Ephesians is where we're going. Sorry for those who got your Bibles. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, real quick. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her, the church, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. I want to focus on the one phrase, a glorious church. A glorious church. Let's put our Bibles down and let's bind together in prayer. I believe God has a word for us this evening, and the songs tonight confirm things. And just let's pray that God would speak to our hearts. We thank you, Jesus, so much for your goodness. We thank you, God, for your love. We thank you, God, for your grace and mercy that, Lord God, you are. Lord Jesus, wanting to sanctify us, cleanse us, Lord God. You want to present yourself, Lord, a glorious church. And God, I pray you speak to us this thought tonight, God. Speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, challenge us, Lord. Stir us, shake us, mold us, Lord God, into your image, God. Your heartbeat, God, in Jesus' name, amen. If you are here, you may be seated. If you're standing at home, man, God bless you. You may be seated for sure. We are facing troubling times in America. It's been a season of operational change with the COVID-19 pandemic and its impact on daily living. We have signs in church that say, you are welcome to sit here. It's very positive versus don't sit here. operationally, our lives have been impacted. You go to Costco, you have to wear a face mask. And you turn the aisle and start going towards someone and they get this alarmed look on their face, and they go all the way around you. It's quite funny. I tried to go as fast as I can toward them, scare them even more. I'm teasing. But on top of that, there is unrest, uncertainty in the face of racial tensions all across this country. It's a time that is challenging for the Christian to maneuver through. What do you and I do? What do we say? What action do we take? What response should we give, if we should give one at all? The pressure is only going to get stronger and stronger to conform to a particular worldview or system of thinking. And so tonight, I want us to take a step back and lay aside the political pundit's viewpoint. Lay aside the meme, the infographic, the latest report that we see on social media. Lay aside from our minds. Lay aside the latest example of racism that is being reported. The latest example of violence and looting. Lay aside our agreement or disagreement on a topic. Let's just take a step back for a few moments tonight. This is very difficult because it's in the forefront of our minds, of our hearts. But let's take a step back. We read in Ephesians 5 that Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. What does the glorious church look like? Revelation 7 tells us plainly in verse 9 and 10, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It is every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every race, every color, giving praise unto the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. It's a glorious church. I wish every one of you could experience what I did growing up as a missionary kid, worshiping in our church in Greece, in that kind of atmosphere, because it truly was. And this is what I struggle with because of my background that doesn't make sense to me, because I worshiped with folks from Nigeria, India, Greece, the United Kingdom, the Philippines, on, and it was high percentages. It was literally, we were probably one of half dozen Americans and everybody else, and that's what the glorious church is. You hear that imagery in Revelation 7, all nations, all tribes, all tongues. You know, and sometimes we say, yeah, that's going to be awesome, but yet we don't necessarily understand how that is fully. We have a taste. I'm so glad we have a taste of that here at CGC as well. My brother Fabian, who's an amazing man of God, has such a heart for people and has such wisdom. He's from Mexico. I didn't grow up with someone from Mexico, so it's a treat for me to have a brother that I can worship with and hear another perspective and another understanding. And my twin brother Claude, thank you, Alicia, for confusing us too, from Burkina Faso, whose joy is infectious. Loves to worship and is a leader and has a passion for people. I've been missing lately. Some of you may not know him, but Brother Fahisa, who's from Ethiopia, sits over in this area, comes on Sunday morning. He comes with his three kids, Seni, Anna, and Natoli. Natoli always has this like mischievous look in his eye. He's like six, I think, something like that. If you're watching this evening, I miss you, brother. I'm so thankful we have a taste of that. And God is going to present to himself a glorious church of all types of folks. Not just racial lines, but poor, rich, healthy, not healthy. You know, every color, creed, thought process, background. There's no debate in Scripture. And if you have had a concern about what CGC stands for some reason, let me be clear. Racism is wrong. It is a sin. James 2, 8 through 9 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. It's very clear in Scripture. We are to love everyone, all colors. You know, and I was talking to my wife through some of these thoughts, and, you know, we have all these thoughts out there of how we should think and how we should act. And you know what? If we looked in the Scripture, how much more challenging is the Scripture? Because it would include in the Scripture to love the person who is a racist. It goes another step. Love your enemies. Do good to them. In this time, it's like, no, we want a certain action. And we want this and this. No. We're supposed to love everyone. Man, the Word of God assures us that racial and cultural differences have no bearing on an individual's worth to God. Romans 10:12 says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The unifying factor among all people, all nations, all tribes, all races, is the fact that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no qualifier there. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And man, God is, it has an unstoppable love for everyone because he wants everyone to call on his name and be saved. That is why God robed himself in flesh and came to earth. That is why he died on a cross, giving himself for whoever would call on his name, be washed, be cleansed, be sanctified, and be part of a glorious church that he could present to himself one day. There's two images that capture this concept tonight. If you could, oh, my title slide's right there. If you could throw that up online as well tonight. I chose for the title slide a field of sunflowers, and this does it zero justice. I chose this because we're in summer. Praise God. If you're ever able to visit, I think it's called the Pope Conservatory out in Middleton in early August. I don't know if they'll be open by then with everything going on. I believe they planted sunflowers again this year after taking a year off. But they plant fields of sunflowers. And I would encourage you to go out there if you're able to. It's only a short 2-week, 3-week season, something like that, where they're in full bloom like this. But it's breathtaking. It's beautiful. The beauty and splendor of acres and acres of sunflowers is awe-inspiring. For those who like winter and are excited that in 6 months it will be Christmas Eve, a comparable picture is after a snowstorm comes through, you dress, I don't know what a snorestorm. Well, I have a snorestorm every night, my poor wife. Oh, glory. But anyways, a snowstorm, it comes through and then you drive out to the countryside or you see that red barn and the snow drifts untouched by vehicle or footprints and blanketing the surrounding fields, the trees draped with snow. Again, what an awe-inspiring picture. Those are two metaphorical images I wanted to present of the glorious church, because if you take the entire sunflower field and zoom in, you find it's made of thousands and thousands of beautiful sunflower plants. If you zoom in on a field of snow on the microscopic level, you find millions of snowflakes, beautiful in design, unique, different. And it's the same with a glorious church. It's made up of a host of beautiful, valuable people. I love Psalm 139. It's my favorite chapter in the Bible. And there have been many times in my life where I did not see myself in a positive light. And how David presents the truth of how God sees us has ministered to me so many times over and over again. And so I want to read one of the few of the verses here, 139, 14 through 18. It says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. That my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. God sees his creation as fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't just throw you and I together. He skillfully made us for a reason. There is a reason you have that personality, that quality, that skill. There's a reason we need some infectious joy and laughter in our church. Else you'd never hear someone laugh, and it'd be like, man, this, no one laughs in this church, but nope, we all wait. Sorry, Sister Victoria. I'm speaking, so I miss this. Last time I spoke, no one was here, so amen. And so it's no surprise that we are, as Christians are exhorted to in turn see the same value in others. Matthew 27 verses 35 through 39 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question. I'm sure you've read this many times and maybe recently as well. And he was testing Jesus and saying, teacher, which is the greatest or the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The question we must then answer is, what must we do if we are to be part of a glorious church that has no spots or wrinkles and is without blemish and is supposed to love their neighbor as themselves? I don't know about you, but in turbulent times, I can't figure it out on my own. Nor should I be trying to, even in normal times. This world is not our home. We're striving to be part of a glorious church, so it's not prudent to take our cues from society, from secular viewpoints, from our political leaders, from the opinions of others, or even our own feelings based on experiences or observations. There's a reason Scripture says that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. So we claim that the Bible is our manual of life. But I ask you, is it? Has it been? The last 8 weeks, 12 weeks, has it been the manual of life? You know, I don't post much, if you haven't noticed. I post about my kids. But I've seen a lot of posts. This is not about social media. I've heard a lot of communication, not just social media, everywhere. I've seen a lot of things. There's a lot of opinions out there. But is it our opinion or is it God's opinion? Is it the manual of life directing us? You know, it's crazy. I was talking to Brother Fabian earlier today and yesterday about this message. I mentioned this topic about the manual of life. He's like, yeah, isn't it funny? Like when you're in a lab and some machinery is going wrong, you're like, oh no, you don't just freak out and start having it. No, you go to the manual and be like, okay, it's, you know, yeah, there's smoke coming here or this lever. And it's like, okay, do this. Okay, cool. Put the manual away. You're good. And you're done. And you go on with life. Yet we just like are going every crazy way, it seems like, as the world. And so it's so much more important during this time. Have you looked in the manual? Well, it doesn't speak to 2020. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Galatians 5:14 through 16 says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, in light of that thought that you can bite and devour each other, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how should we walk in this time? Let's base it on God's word and it alone. First is walk in the Spirit. Every action, every word, every post, every share, every tweet, every retweet, every comment, every effort we make, all communication should come from a place where we're walking in the Spirit. If we wake up grumpy on the wrong side of the bed, upset at what is happening in society, I didn't read about stuff went on last night here in Madison until mid-afternoon because I was studying stuff, getting ready for this evening, and you see that and you just want to respond, ah! Or, yeah, or, you know, there's one or two things. Or you could just be like, what does the Word of God say? We should bathe ourselves in God's Spirit before we react. If another racist fueled event happens in society, which triggers past pain in our lives, before we protest, before we rise up, we've got to get on our knees and walk in the Spirit, not our flesh. Please hear my heart. I'm not saying that we should do nothing, that we should let injustice slide. No, but we need to walk in the Spirit in our response. Why? Because there's a glorious church that God is trying to create. Why is this so important? Galatians goes on to tell us, and we'll continue on in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. They butt heads so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And so why is it important? Because the works of the flesh are evident. Some of these are just personal sins and issues that we have. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. But then we start to get into interactions with people. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You may have in your mind a pure motive about having a certain response, whatever it may be. I am not picking one response over another response, but whatever response to whatever situation, you may think it's a pure, but if it's not bathed in the Spirit, your flesh and your spirit are fighting. And so you know what? You're going to have a fleshly mindset. You may not think it, but there might be some selfish ambition or some contentions. You want to have a dissension with somebody. So we need to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because of the fruit of the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, here's the fruit that you'll see in your life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know that list of the fruit of the Spirit is what is projected as the ideal. Like, this is what we need to be as a society. Well, then just walk in the Spirit, and we'll show that. We'll show that love. They'll see the joy. They'll see the peace. They'll see our goodness and our kindness, our faithfulness, et cetera, et cetera. We shouldn't try to, the King James Version, that last verse 26, it says, let us not be desire of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. We're wanting to be part of a glorious church, but there's walking in the flesh there. We could be desirous of vain glory. We shouldn't try to glory in ourselves, but have the bigger picture that there's a body of believers that together make up a glorious church. We need to walk in the Spirit. Did you know young sunflowers, they have a characteristic referred to as heliotropism. Heliotropism or solar tracking is where a young sunflower's face follows the sun from sunrise to sunset every day and repeats the cycle. Some heliotropic plants, such as sunflowers, also reorient themselves during the night so that they face east before sunrise because they want to face the sun all throughout the day. What a imagery for us all throughout the day, every response. God, where are you at? I'm going here. God, where? Be in front of me. God, lead my thoughts, lead my mind, lead my reactions. Okay, God, I'm going over here. Lead my thoughts, lead my actions. I want to follow you, God, throughout the day. Jesus. Are we tracking what God wants throughout the day and then reorienting ourselves all over again for the next day? We got to walk in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, we'll have a proper perspective of the glorious church we're striving to be a part of, which will allow us to walk in the shoes of others. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23, and for sake of time, I'm just going to blitz through this, but it talks about, hey, to win Jews, I'm going to become like the Jews. To win those under the law, I'm going to come like the law. And then in verse 22, it says, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. I don't want to dive too much into this area because Pastor Fabian spoke so clearly to this a couple weeks ago. I'd encourage you, I think it was June 7th, go listen to that message online. He talked about it is a good thing to feel pain, but why do we endeavor to walk in their shoes? Why do we want to feel the pain? Why do we want to hear the story so they may know Christ who can bring true healing and change to their lives as we walk with them side by side? If we walk in the Spirit and walk in the shoes of others, then we can truly walk in unity. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. The New Living Translation verse 3 says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Walking in unity can only happen if we're at the same time walking in humility. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks to the church at Ephesus about there being one body, one spirit in verse 4. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, verse 5 and 6. One God and Father above all. God is not going to present to himself glorious individuals. The Bible says he's presenting himself a glorious church. We are one body. We are one church. And when we walk in unity, we can find out later in Ephesians chapter 4, it says in verse 14 of chapter 4, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced. Verse 15 says, instead, we're going to speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more. And then skipping down to the end of verse 16, it says, as each part in the body does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. There is power in unity. You want to know how to maneuver through these times? Get joined up with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You want to make an impact? Walk in unity. It will change the world. Psalms 133, 1 through 2, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What is it like? It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron all the way down to the edge of his garments. Basically, back in the day, special ointment, really fragrant, really smelly. They poured it over the heads. You're the next king. I mean, it's just like, you know, okay, we vote in a pastor. Oh, anointing oil. That'd be really weird. But you know what? You would know who that is. Because they stank, they smell, they got, and that's a sweet fragrance, of course, but like, man, like, ooh, you know, free sweet perfume, and it's like, oh, that's way too much perfume to wear. None of you do that. But that's what it's like. Like, you know that they were just anointed. And so that's what God is saying unity is like. People will know if we're unified, if we're striving to be one body. Amen. Amen. You go out and about, someone's going to smell that you were doused with that anointing oil, that unity. We started with the premise that God is going to present himself a glorious church that is full of every tribe, every tongue, every race, every color. We can visualize the glorious church with a field of sunflowers or a field of snow. We then dove down and saw the glorious church is made of precious, valued individuals, beautiful people. If we walk in the Spirit with every aspect of our lives, we can then walk in the shoes of another. We can walk in unity with each other. But let me remind you, God is going to present himself a glorious church. While a sunflower is beautiful on its own, a field of sunflowers is majestic. While an individual snowflake is intricate, it's when that snowflake is combined with millions of others that it becomes a scene that's awe-inspiring. If you look out in the field, you can't even see one snowflake. Yeah, up close you can, but in the big scheme of things, the scheme of life, yeah, little snowflake. Okay, well, it's gone. It just melted. But a field of snowflakes is just awe-inspiring. It's in all that we do, we can't lose sight of the why we're reaching out to people. It's because they will make the choice to reach up and experience the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. And then they'll reach in and grow and learn about him. And then themselves will begin to reach out. And that person they reach out to will come to the Lord and reach up and give all their cares and burdens to the Lord. And the cycle goes on and on as we teach here at Calvary Gospel. The founding of our organization, the United Pentecostal Church International, was the result of a couple smaller organizations merging together. The pastors and churches didn't see eye to eye on every topic. And I find it interesting that's spoken to in a portion of our fundamental doctrine. It says, the basic and fundamental doctrine of this organization shall be the Bible standard of full salvation, which is repentance, baptism, and water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial signs of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Now listen, we shall endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit until we all come into the unity of the faith. At the same time, admonishing all brethren that they shall not contend for their different views to the disunity of the body. Now, this is speaking to churches, ministers, and saying, hey, listen, we can't fight over the minutiae of Scripture. We need to be united. And if it's a different view that's going to cause disunity, you know what? We are going to choose not to present our views. What a powerful example to us as a church here. I know there's different views all across the sanctuary. Those watching online, you have different views. I get it. There's different viewpoints, different philosophies, different thoughts, concepts, how to face this, how not to face this. People are upset. Some people are like, this is, you know, some want to lock everything down for 3 years. Other people are like, this pandemic's dumb. Some, you know, there's everything on the racial lines as well. And are we contending our views to the disunity of the body? Again, walk in the Spirit. Bathe it in the Spirit. Why? Because we can't contend our different views to the disunity of the body because it's a glorious church. The musicians would come. When I live life with a glorious church presented to God in mind, I can zoom in and find the beauty in the individual next to me who makes up that church. I can grow in my love for folks and value them as God values them. If you would stand with me. But for the sinner, the hateful, the racist, the proud, the liar, the thief, the enemy, I can't forgive or wash away the stain of sin. I can love you. I can't call you out of darkness. I can show you what the Word of God says and hopefully be someone that God can speak through into your life, but it's not me who saves. It's not me who forgives. It's not me who says that you're turning your life around for, but it's for Jesus who died on the cross. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. 1 Peter 2:9. Brother Jeff's favorite scripture. I miss my brother Jeff. My car misses brother Jeff. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. Why? Because we called them out of darkness? No, for He called you out of the darkness into His wonderful light. So you know what? I've got to love those who hate people. It goes against every grain of my body because it's just like, how in the world can you hate someone because of the color of their skin? And I got two beautiful biracial children. Lord, help me if someday, and I can't be naive enough to think that there won't be something said. But Lord, help me love the person who says something, and I don't knock their block off. But I gotta love them. Why? Because I can't help them change that hate in their heart. Whatever the reason, they were taught it or they were hurt themselves or whatever the reason, but God can't. God can change the heart. The same with the liar, the thief, the proud, any sin, you name it. If you're under the sound of my voice online watching here in the sanctuary,
If there's sin in your heart, God can change it. God can set you free from that bitterness. That God can set you free from that addiction. For those who have experienced pain and hurt, I can do my part. I can hear their story. I can feel their pain as if it was my own and even bring healing for their lives going forward. But I can't wipe away every tear from their eye. I can't create a world for them where there will be no more death or sorrow or crying. I'm sorry, we want a society that is perfect and unified and of the same mind. Brother Seidel today told me, yeah, there was once that it was like that. And they didn't seek God back in the Tower of Babel. They had ill intentions. So even if we got on the same page, that page probably will be wrong and not aligned with God. And so though I want to see it, I can't provide a place, a world where there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying. I can't make it so there is no more pain. I can't take the former things in life and make it pass away, the hurt that other. Yes, I can restore your faith in society, that there are people who love you and hopefully go forward and you can have a healed outlook on life, but I can't take away everything. And so I must value folks so much that I lead them to Jesus. So they too can become part of the greater body of Christ, a part of a glorious church that God will someday present himself. Those who are in sin, those who are hurting. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. It's not a statue. It's not an icon, a picture on a wall. A living God will be with us. What does it say? God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. I can't wipe the tears away from someone's eyes. And if you're hurting today, I can't wipe the tears away from your eyes. I can walk alongside you. I can help you. But I can love you to the one that can. And so in all of this, I'm so challenged and disturbed by what's going on. But I have to remember, it's a glorious church. It's not in a glorious America. Yeah, I want America to be glorious and amazing. But my home is beyond the skies. Yes, I want liberty and justice for all. But I want folks saved more than that. I want to see it, but I want to see them saved as I reach out to them and help them and be help ease pain and hear stories. But I want to see their soul saved. Last few days have been felt a lot of pressure like I've never had before, different kind of pressure as I prepared. Why? Because the enemy wants disunity. You know, we can't even see everyone in this church because of this dumb pandemic. To say, you know what, you're my brother, you're my sister, I'm with you. There's a whole host of people, understandably so, and I honor your choices. please, you know, those in the nursing field, I get it. You're being safe. I understand. But I can't see you face to face to say, I'm with you. And so we have to more than ever make an effort to maybe just be quiet once in a while. And bathe ourselves in His Spirit and call a brother up personally. If you see something that you interpret as offensive and why are you doing that and see blah, 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 blah. Why don't you call them up like Scripture says? Say, you know what? Out of a heart of hurt and pain, I want to tell you that came across this way. I want to assume you did not mean that. Please let me know. Did you mean that? And they may say, no, not at all. And you can say, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's my brother. Or they can say, you know what? And if someone calls you up and you didn't even think about it and it was offensive, be humble. Say, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. I'm just passionate about America or whatever the philosophies are. But say, make it right and go to that brother and make it right over the phone. Yeah, we can't see him and hug him because, you know, you got a face mask and stuff and got to be careful. But we can, in the midst of this, still follow the manual of life. Because someday there is going to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. And I want to be part of that church. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of that church. Let's just worship the Lord tonight. They begin to sing at home. Cry out. Get with your families. Analyze your life. If you want to come forward, you may, if you feel comfortable. Let's look internally and say, God, am I bathing myself in your Spirit? Am I walking in your Spirit, God? Am I being humble, God? Am I being trying my best to be unified? Am I going to my brother when there's an offense and letting them know so that there can be reconciliation? Let's find a place to pray. Let's begin to look inwardly and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. And what part of this message do I need to know, God? Do I need to work on, God? Yes.
And all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart.
It's all about you, Jesus.
I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself, it's not what you have required.
You don't want all this sacrifice and all these words. You want our hearts.
Much deeper within.
Yes.
Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart.
I want to have a heart of worship, Jesus. I want to have a heart of love, God.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about
you. It's not about
you,
this world, God.
Jesus.
It's about you.
I'm sorry, Lord, for the
not about this country, God. It's about you.
It's all about you.
I love my flag, but it's not about the flag. It's about you, God.
Heart of worship, and it's all about you.
It's all about you.
It's all about you, Jesus.
I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry, Lord, for it's all about you.
It's all about you, God.
It's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is stripped away, I simply come, longing just to bring something that's a worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song.
For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within to the way things appear. You're looking into my about you, Jesus.